sleep on corporate homie.
You owe me an apology.
Like, I don't raise my voice at work. I don't curse at people. This would have never happened to a man.
Do you feel like that's true? Have you felt that at work?
Putting the smack down.
On today's episode of Corporate Homie, when your friends and your family, they think you're rich.
They don't see when you're up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you're working and you're already at your desk.
I would never do that unless I had money to burn. I don't know if I want everyone to know my salary. What up, homies?
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woo-woo.
Well, we are excited to be back for another episode. We are at the...
Red Bull excited.
As Bemetra would say, Red Bull excited. We are at the final quarter of 2018. We have been so delighted to hear from so many of the homies as you have been listening to episodes and giving us topics. And so I think you'll find that the next couple of weeks, our topics are directly from, I would say they're more cultural topics from homie chats, you know, from homie happenings, from homies feedback.
Absolutely. I think that's the thing I'm most excited about the next few episodes, is that it, as Demetra said, came directly from the homies. So it's not content that we came up with. So that's exciting.
Okay, so let's get into today's episode. It is when your friends and your family, they think you're rich. But you're not.
You're not rich?
I'm not rich. Are you rich?
No, absolutely not. I work every day. And for every dollar I needed to pay my bills. But what I found interesting about getting prepared to talk about this topic is kind of maybe why does your family and friends think you're rich? And when you look at the most recent census that was done, minority households, the average black median income was $32,065. The average Hispanic median household was about $37,000. Only 9% of African-American households in the census, the most recent census, earned greater than $100,000.
So what were those numbers for white households? What's the comparison?
About 20,000 more.
Oh, right. Wow.
So my
Wait,
point
so the
is,
average white household is like $56,000?
Correct. But think about this. This is the average. So this is...
No, I understand.
Adults, it's a big wide range. But I guess the point I was trying to make is, if you are a minority, which this podcast is targeted to minority professionals and women, and women, and I didn't pull the numbers for like women, I just did it for ethnicities. If only 9% of people who look like you are making more than $100,000, that's why people think you're rich.
Assuming that you make more than $100,000.
Correct. Assuming that you make more than $100,000. So I'm saying, like, some of it is absolutely I'm not rich, and then some of it is if I make $32,000 and you make $150, you're rich,
right? Or I guess what you're saying is if I make $32,000 and you make $60,000, you're rich. It doesn't even have to be that you're over the $100,000 mark. And I want to make sure that we like explain it. A lot of times, at least I started feeling this almost immediately when I got my first job, and I think I made in my first job like $48,000, and a lot of my family and friends thought I was rich. So this by no means is an episode for people who make six figures.
Oh no, absolutely not. I'm just giving some context as to how people might be getting there in their mindset. The other thing I wanted to point out, and I don't want to get into becoming a quantitative, you know, boring conversation, is we're talking about household numbers, not individual salaries.
Hello somebody. So this is like if two people were working, not necessarily
or a family of four, or right, two people, yeah.
But two people working, yeah. Right. But so this is, yeah, that's a great point, because I actually wasn't even thinking about the numbers in that way. So the first thing I thought when I was preparing for the episode, which sort of is, you know, I guess really piggybacking off what you said, is for a lot of the homies, and certainly was true for us, you know, you could be, we're not first generation college educated, but we were sort of first generational, you know, post doctorate, post MBA,
terminal degrees, yeah,
right, terminal degrees. And so for a lot of the homies, you might be from a family too that you're might be what I would call first generational white collar or first generational terminal degree, something like that, which already makes your socioeconomic status different than your family. So some of this is money, and some of it is, I think, social as well, as far as exposure. And so to me, that in and of itself, even from the perspective of the homie who is the first generational person, can be disoriented.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic point. And excuse me, I think about even us. I love that you're making the point about the social, you know, piece of it, because we certainly did not grow up in any type of affluence. Our father was in the Air Force, and so because our father was in the Air Force, we were able to do a lot of rich cultural experiences, do things that we would have never gotten to do based on his based on the household income level, because of the Air Force. For example, you know, we lived overseas, we traveled overseas. I don't think that those are things that we would have been able to do if mom and dad had made the same amount of money they made as private citizens, as civilians, if you will. I know we wouldn't have gotten those types of experiences. We certainly would have never gone to Wyoming. We would have never gone to Nebraska. We wouldn't have done any of those things without the Air Force. So I love that you're bringing in the social aspect, because that had nothing to do with money.
Yeah, no, completely. So if you're listening to the episode and you're sort of wondering, like, you know, what do you mean when we say if your family thinks you're rich? If you've heard things like, oh, it must be nice to travel like you do, or I sure wish I could afford a purse like that.
It must be nice to eat out every day and to not have to cook.
Right. Or I can't believe you spend so much on those kind of groceries. You know, why do you need to eat organic food? Why don't you know, I just eat regular
I can't
eggs.
Afford a house or, a housekeeper. I have to cut my own grass.
Stuff like things like that. And many of us hear those things not just from our family, but we also hear
Hello,
it
somebody.
From our friends. And so right. And so, you know, we've heard this from many homies over and over. I mean,
and we've experienced
we just had
it ourselves.
A homie reach.
I mean, and not past tense.
Yeah, right. And still continue to experience it. And just had a homie reach out and was saying something like she wanted to get a housekeeper, but she was like, my mother would kill me and my mother would just think I was being ridiculous. And so that was what, like, sort of the final catalyst is. We had this kind of topic in our inbox, but to know that homies have even things that they personally desire, but then are setting some type of a self-imposed barrier or boundaries to experiences or things for fear of how it might come off to their family or friends is what really was the catalyst to the episode.
And I almost chuckled a little bit because I was thinking about the difference between being younger in your career and being a little more seasoned in your career, because I can distinctly remember you and I having this conversation when within the first few years of your practice in law about whether or not you were being ridiculous by hiring a housekeeper. And, you know, and then, you know, full disclosure, then we're like, well, maybe you will hire a housekeeper, but we won't tell mama.
Right. But yeah. And okay. So let's start at the very kind of beginning of the discussion, because I think it sort of starts with, you know, are you even going to discuss your salary and what you make with your family? You know, a lot of times I think when we first at least I'll just speak from my own experience. You know, I got my first job. I have a very open relationship with my parents. We discuss a lot of things. We just have a very open and candid, you know, relationship.
Over the years, I think that I've realized that it's a lot more open and a lot more disclosure than a lot of people are comfortable with.
Or at least they're familiar with, right? And so, you know, I value their advice. They have sort of, you know, definitely weighed in almost every major decision I had made in my life up until that point. And so when I received my job offers, I didn't even stop to think as to whether I wanted to disclose the offer to them, the amount, whatever. It was just very natural to do so. And not just to my parents, but to my siblings, you know, and so on.
Well, I think part
of
the reason why it probably didn't take the time, you know, to use your phrase, to think about whether or not there was no basis to understand what was going to be a pro or con to doing that. Like nothing you could lean on and say, oh, okay, well, is this something I should be just? And like you said, naturally, there were, and there still aren't very many major decisions that you were making without talking to mom and
right.
dad. So,
but almost immediately, let's say I got the job offer on a Thursday morning, disclose it to my parents and my siblings, you and you know DeMarc, and we're all talking about it. And I want to say that Saturday, another family member came over to the house and they were like, hey, so excited about your job offer. And then quoted my salary back to me. It was Uncle Casey. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that because I remember being like,
how do you know how much money I
made?
And he
was like, B told me. And I remember being like, wait. And that was sort of the first time that I did stop to think like, oh, maybe we don't want everybody to know, because it was all out of excitement, right? But then I just stopped and thought, I don't know if I want him to know my salary. I don't know if I want everyone to know my salary. But it was one of those things. It's almost like the videos now that go viral when people get into college, you know, like the whole family's excited. Everybody was talking. No one was thinking about, like you said, you know, what that might mean for people to know what you made. What do you think?
You know, I know for, you know, I remember that time, and, you know, we still have very different viewpoints on, you know, what it means within the family for you to be an attorney. And, you know, we're just not together on that. We haven't been for 20 years. It was very much like somebody getting into Harvard or what have you. We did not have, and still don't, I don't want to misquote, still don't have another attorney in the family. And it was a huge deal. It is still a huge deal. For the homies who are not African-American, I'll say this, probably the highest thing you can be in Black professional society, at least in the South where we come from, or maybe it's just our family, is a doctor or a lawyer. It's like you have ascended to the top. Obviously, there's lots of other important jobs. I don't think people in our family would necessarily know what it meant to be, some of the folks in our family, to be an investment banker.
Oh, that's right. I agree with that.
In private equity.
Yeah.
So, but they understand conceptually what a lawyer.
Or even a CEO or entrepreneur, even though they could make tons more money.
Right. So it's not about that, but it's like it was about the family was going to have an opportunity to get into a new status veal, if you will. It was a big deal. So it certainly was not shared or discussed in any type of hate or malicious way, but I totally get what you're saying. It was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. How great is that?
Right, but to keep it with it, when your family or friends think you're rich, if they know your number, they might, like as you said at the top of the episode, they might decide anybody who makes over $65,000 is rich. And so if you are like, oh my gosh, I just got a new job, it's paying $78,000, everybody's like, woohoo, you are rich. And if you mess around,
it reminds me of that. Go ahead.
And if you mess around and make six figures, oh my Lord, you have blown their mind. They think you have a driver.
Right. Yeah, I actually remember being in a conversation like that, but it kind of reminds me of the
about
episode.
What?
Oh, so about 5 years ago, not that long ago, I was at a hanging out with some sorority sisters, and you know, of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated.
You might be familiar with it.
You might know about it. And anyway, we were watching the movie. It's a Tyler Perry movie with Gabrielle Union and Idris Elba.
Daddy's Little Girls.
Yes.
Okay, so then that couldn't have been 5 years ago. That had to be like 10 or 15 years ago, but please continue.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so I was saying that I thought that the movie had a lot of outlandish premises, like the fact that she had a driver. And I was like, she wouldn't have a driver, you know, working at this, you know, kind of family law firm. They were like, yes, she would, right? And most of the Sarahs were, you know, school teachers, you know, social workers, you know, things like that. But professional folks, of course. And I'm like, no, they were like, anybody to make, well, I tell you what, if I made over 100, so I said, well, what
if they said, I tell you what, if I made what?
If I made over $150,000, I would have me a driver, okay? And I was like, it doesn't work that way, right? And I didn't want to say, like, as people, as someone who knows lots of people who make more than $150,000, they don't have drivers. But they were, I mean, I'm telling you, they would have fought me.
Oh, wow. If, right. Like, because so, they had, yeah. Again, because they had an understanding of what that looked like. And for them, that was sort of unlimited money. So, yeah, that was sort of my first point, is that you have to sort of really be thinking about, you know, what, if you want to discuss money with your family, and what can be the implications of discussing the numbers with your family. Okay, you go. What's your first point?
Well, I just think that there, don't ever apologize for whatever it is that you make, whatever it is that you earn, because you got that from your hard work. You know, it was your hard work, and that shouldn't, you shouldn't have to apologize for that. And I do think that it reminds me of the ESPN 30 for 30 on the Broke episode, where it didn't matter whether the athletes were black or white, or they played football or hockey or baseball or basketball. And they talked about how their families would just treat them like banks, is essentially, like, you know, I've got, you know, this need, and you have the ability to fix it, so you should fix it. As if somehow they won some type of lottery, even though, you know, the athletes earn that money. I was following a blogger on Twitter who's done really well, and she was saying that people will inbox her sob stories, heartfelt sob stories, and expect her to, like, send the money.
You,
like,
know, it's so funny you would say that, because I've seen a couple of people that I follow lately who have said, hey, everybody, stop inboxing me and asking me for money. Don't equate followers, the number of followers, with the fact that you even think I'm rich. Like, people have now... I do think people do confuse popularity with money, and those two are not necessarily, but that's a perfect example, though, of it's translating now past family and friends.
Past friends, it's just strangers.
Well, but I think it's because people don't feel like they're strangers, right?
When correct. People start, we are friends. We're on social media.
Right. When people start connecting with you on a social platform, now they're like, you know, people joke, oh, she's my BFF in my head, but it's going a little further. Like, no, really, you're my BFF. So, like, girl, I know if I tell you, you know, my
story.
And
you're a good person. You got a good heart.
That's right. You would be, you know, hard pressed to tell me no. So another thing I say about why friends and family think you're rich in these situations, my next point is because they have a lack of information. So sort of one of what you're saying, in that, one, they don't know how much money you make or how far that money goes. And
or
two,
what your responsibilities and expenses for that money.
Right. And yeah. Two, they don't know what the experiences or the things you are buying cost either.
Great point. And fantastic point.
Yes. And so to me, one of the things I've always thought about, even the way we do things, is people assume that if you travel, you have a lot of money. People assume that. But
they
most
do.
Of us understand that a lot of people who travel are very diligent about planning and prioritizing travel over some other things in their life. you don't know. I mean, I'm going to say you don't know, but a lot of times those people are finding deals, or they set up, like, they're going to have a credit card that they put everything on, that's an airline card that provides for them to get points or hotels or something like that. So it eliminates something, you know, like eliminates a part of the trip so that they can do that. But people don't have that information.
They don't have that context.
Right. Or, like I've been learning lately, a lot of people who travel will follow the sites that break out.
I do. The travel points guy or whatever.
Yeah, like Misty was just coming. It just was in town to visit. Hey, Misty, if you're listening, what's up?
Hey, Misty.
And she was saying that they, you know, follow like a particular blog that releases like cheap flights. And you have to get them like pretty far in advance. But like, let's say you could get a flight from Houston to New Zealand for $400. So they'll go ahead and book that now for, you know, next October of 2019 or next Thanksgiving. Guess what they decide they're going to do for Thanksgiving of 2019. But then next Thanksgiving, people like, boy, Misty sure is a baller. I mean, they went to New Zealand for Thanksgiving, but really for the cost of a ticket to go to Birmingham.
Right. That's a fantastic point. And, you know, to your point, I remember when I had some friends that were telling me they don't, for religious purposes, they don't celebrate Christmas. And so they were telling me that always on Christmas Day, airline fares are cheap to go other places because people aren't buying tickets that day. And so they, every Christmas, they get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and book, like you said, a trip to Saudi Arabia or, you know, what have you. I've definitely experienced this where I've seen people make comments about something that I've done, and I think to myself, I did all of that on points. And at the time, most of those points were when I was traveling a lot for my job. So it's not even like, well, because I've heard people say, well, you know, using the points means you spent the money at some point. Okay. It's like, well, no, I actually.
I was reimbursed for that back for, like, no. And again, lack of information. Just a lack of information. Well,
so I just think it's a fantastic point. So basically, in the homie speak, you don't know what you're talking about.
What you talking about? That's what I said. You just don't know what you're talking about.
I remember when we were like, we're going to Hawaii for $11.27. First class, points. Like, you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know what you're talking about. So, yeah, they just have a lack of information.
Yeah. I think one of the other reasons why your family thinks you're rich is some of the experiences and things that you have to do through your jobs appear to be more fun than they actually are. And so I've seen people do this, and we talked about this before, about like when you're traveling for work and your spouses think that you're living it up and they're at home with the small children, you know, knee deep in it. But in reality, you know, you're at a steakhouse dinner. And yeah, that would be a lot of fun if you had a chance to go do that, you know, with your fraternity brothers or your sorority sisters or your college friends. But you're doing that with clients, or you're doing that with prospects. Or, you know, don't get me wrong, I remember one of our good friends, LaRonica Conway. Hey, LaRonica. Hey, Ronnie Lynn. I remember telling her when we were at the Women's Final Four, when she was working for the Southeast Conference, I was like, man, you got the best job in the world. Like, how cool is this? Like, you know, we're at the Final Four. You know, you got access to everything. And I'll never forget, she said, I'm also going to be in Starkville, Mississippi at the softball tournament next month. And I thought,
I remember that. And I remember being like, that's right.
That's right.
You got to do all
the
sports.
You got to take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
So to Demetra's point about the lack of information, they also don't see the whole picture is what I would say. And you guys have heard me say this on this podcast before, they don't see when you're up at 6 o'clock in the morning and you're working and you're already at your desk. They don't see when you're at 10:30 at night or you don't have a weekend, or you lose your weekend because you all of a sudden have to go to trial, or a deal is moving left on you, or whatever. So they're only seeing a piece of the picture.
Oh, I think that's a great point. So I just have two more points. My next one is family and friends think you're rich because they're conflating their values with yours, right? So they have decided that only rich people do this thing.
I love this point.
But maybe you've decided that's something you want to do. So they've decided, especially this is hard for your parents and your friends, because remember, birds of the feather flock together. So they are just assuming that your values are my values and you prioritize the same things that I prioritize. And I would never do that unless I had money to burn. I would never, ever buy vegetables already chopped up for $4 unless I had money to burn.
The reason
so
why I'm laughing is because these are things that have been said to us over the years.
Right. So if you
these are
buying
real life examples
that are already chopped up, you might as well be able to take $20 and just blow it out in the wind, because I assume that you have the same values I do.
Right. I've heard stuff like that. Apparently, I was with a friend of mine at the grocery store, and something the same kind of thing about like the buying the $5 bag of potatoes or whatever. You know, I'm a fresh vegetable person, always have been. You know, but it's just that cracks me up. I've definitely heard the one. I think the travel one has gotten worse because of social media, and I think that it's different to hear like, oh, Lil Twin went on a trip. Lil Twin, that's a family nickname. Went
Thanks
on a trip
for you.
For me, you know. Lil Twin went on a trip. People are like, oh, okay, that's nice. Then I think it's different to be on social media and see the trip.
And see Lil Twin on the trip. And then have an idea of what you think that trip looks like. And again, and so I think the same thing like with the housekeeper. It's like, I would never have a housekeeper unless I just was, you know, like I said, just rich, as opposed to, for someone like me, I think I cannot make more time, but I can make more money. And so I would choose not to take my Saturday and spend 4 or 5 hours cleaning my home. I'd rather pay someone that make more money to do that and get more time back.
So,
but that's because my values are different.
So you're bringing me to my final point, which is one of the reasons why your friends and family thinks that you're rich is because they don't equate time and money. And so there are a lot of things that I do not do because I want the time. So, for example, I never drive to Atlanta from Tampa because for me, I'm only normally going to be there for the weekend. It is about a 6-hour drive. So that's 12 hours of the weekend that I'm not spending with friends and family because I'm in the car. And the point of the trip...
which is the whole point of the trip, which is to go to Atlanta and see family and friends.
And so for me, I have decided, and especially gas is no longer dirt cheap. It's not like in the 90s where gas was 99 cents a gallon, right? So at $3.50 a gallon, the extra $100 for me is better spent because that, the way I see it, is I get about 10 hours back with family and friends. And that's what's most important to me. And I will say that. That's how I justify getting the housekeeper. When I'm working 80 hours a week and it's Saturday, because I'm going to go to church on Sunday, and it's Saturday, I don't want to spend half of the day cleaning the house. Because now I'm starting to get aggravated and frustrated because now I can look up and I can have weeks where I haven't done one thing I wanted to do. I haven't done one fun thing, and that's not a life I want to live.
But your house is clean.
But my house is clean.
But your house sure is clean.
Right, but that's not a life I want to live. So I would say for me, it's great because it's kind of piggybacking on what you said, Demetra, but they don't put time and money. And I see people do a lot of things, and I think, oh, they still don't understand that time is money, and money is time. And for me,
I love that.
And for me, I always factor that in.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's a really great way of breaking the time and money point down. Okay, my last point is a lot of times family and friends think you're rich because they don't have the same confidence in money.
They don't have the same what?
Confidence in money.
Confidence in money? Okay.
Yes, so most of us come from a background where we didn't have a lot of money. And so we're always afraid we're not going to have a lot of money. So we don't have confidence that more money is coming. And so we don't have confidence that we're going to make more money. We always, you know, because we come from almost a mentality of lack, right? There was a lack of money. And so when you are like, why are you spending that money? Because you're going to run out of money.
Right.
You're going to run out of money. You're going to mess around, have been traveling, done all this, and you're going to run out of money because they don't have any confidence that more money is coming.
That's a fantastic point. I think one of the reasons they don't have the confidence that money is coming is because it takes 2 to 4 generations to
for
money to come or go. Right? So,
what do you mean by 2 to 4 generations?
So statistics show that if you are a wealthy family, you could lose all of that wealth in 2 to 4 generations. Or if you're a family of poverty, it takes 2 to 4 generations to get out of it.
Oh, to get out of poverty.
Or to lose all of it, right? One way or the other, right? And so because of that, if you think about who most of the homies, who our families are, many of us are, like we talked about at the top of the episode, we're either first generation college education or second generation college educated, first generation
white collar.
And so money, that is a real fear.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's a real fear. And so that's why they don't have that whole confidence. And they, like, I know our parents too, because they were government workers and, you know, government workers, really, both of them in some form of shape. The raises were minimal, right? You just got like cost of living raises. So there was no like, I'm going to get promoted.
Oh, I'm going to go out in the market and reset my salary because now I've stayed at this organization too long and I'm $13,000 underpaid. There isn't any of that. There's a chart that says, you know, if you've been working here this many years, this is what you get.
You're going to make this. And at that level such and such, you make this. And at level this, you make that. And so that doesn't give you the same confidence and money as when you're like, hey, I'm underpaid. I'm going to get out here and I got a new job. And my new job pays me $15,000 more. Or if I knock it out the park this year, I get a bonus of $20,000. They don't have any confidence in money like that. They've never had money like
point.
So they don't have
that
relationship
that. Confidence
with money.
And money. So this has been, I think, a fun topic, a great topic. I do just have one final question for you. Can I hold $100?
It's so funny because, you know, everybody still wants to hold $100.
It's if $100 has the same value.
I don't know if you saw, like, our uncle put like a Facebook post on my page yesterday.
I didn't see that. What?
Because I had to delete it off of my wall. He didn't send me a message. It was like a whole, like, You ask people for money, like, this is what happened to me and blah, blah, blah. And if you could, you know, help your uncle out, blah, blah, blah. And it was like on the Facebook wall. And I was like,
not even in the DM.
Like, hey, slide.
But that's
DM,
probably because he doesn't know how to use Facebook properly.
How to do it. Right. And I thought, I'm probably going to do that, but I don't want the whole world to know that you need it. I don't want people in your business. I don't want people in my business. Let me just wrap it
up. So
you
what you're saying
side.
Is that I can hold $100. I just shouldn't ask for it on the podcast.
But don't ask me on the podcast. Don't be asking me for $100 on this podcast. So with that, homies, we really appreciate y'all listening. Thank you so much for, you know, giving us topics and telling us what you want to hear. We are, you know, very grateful for that. If you have a topic that you would like covered, feel free to slide into the DM or shoot us an email at questions@corporatehomie.com.
Right. And as always, thank you so much for listening. You can find us on all things social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and that's Homie, HOMIE. And until next time.
Hustle hard, homies.
Get you a twin. Get you another homie.